Welcome to the podcast of The Mission, a Spirit-filled multicultural church. If you would like more information about The Mission or Pastor Carl Thomas, find us on the web at revivallife.org.
God's good, amen. Miracle money. I just feel there's a, as we're just kind of standing here in the time of offering, I feel like there's a real anointing, just an entrepreneurial spirit. And what I have found is there's not a lack of good ideas. There's a lack of people willing to work behind good ideas. I mean, there's lots of good ideas. And what generally separates the successful businessman from their employees is the willingness to risk and work really hard and learn how to do things in a way that will make money. Any businessmen know what I'm talking about? Yeah? Yes? Yeah. I mean, yeah? No? Yes. Amen. It's not hard to start a business. It's hard to start a business that makes money. It's harder to start a business that makes money and supports you. And it's harder yet to have a business that supports you and employees. And I have found it not only takes very, very hard work, it takes the right idea, the right strategy, the ability to work, the ability to know what you're doing, and a willingness to just do whatever it takes to make the business work. But I just feel like there's a grace for that. And we're not talking about magic money. We're talking about miracle money. And the difference is the anointing is behind one of them and takes effort. So I just want to pray over this offering as the ushers come get it. Father, in the name of Jesus, that you would anoint these finances. Lord, you give wisdom on how to manage them, and you will multiply it in a way that it just goes farther. And Father, we just pray that as these people are supporting your kingdom, Father, as they're supporting your vision on the earth, that you would multiply the money in their hand, that they would have more than enough to sow into the kingdom, that they would have more than enough, and that you would multiply their entrepreneurial spirit, you would add to them the wisdom and knowledge that they need, so it will work for their good and your glory. In Jesus' name, everybody said, amen and amen and amen. You can grab your stuff here. Thank you, gentlemen. Thank you, gentlemen. That's a good-looking shirt there. I gotta tell you, man. That's... You're single, right? Ladies? No. You know I'm trying to get folks married up in this church. Y'all know that already. To save people. To save people. I got two announcements. I got a big one today. I got a bigger one next week. Next week's is kind of massive. This week's is fairly big. When we moved into this location, we knew that we didn't have anywhere to meet this summer. But we just were like, well, God, you done provided this far. We're just going to trust that you'll come up with something. And sure enough, the summer is coming. And starting in 2 weeks, say 2 weeks, tell your neighbor, 2 weeks, not next week, 2 weeks, we're going to be meeting at a new location. The good news is it's in this parking lot. Not in the parking lot, because that's when you drive in the gate, the first building on your right is where we're going to be meeting. And so you'll see signs, we'll be pointing you there, and it's actually a nicer location. So the school district, you know, this used to be IBM property way back in the day, and that was IBM's kind of like a conference center. And so we're going to be meeting in conference rooms that are much larger, and just it's not a cafeteria, and we don't have to make walls out of fabric. You believe that? Praise God, yeah. It's true, it's true. So they're going to have walls there. So starting in 2 weeks, we're going to be meeting over there, and I'm trusting it's going to be good. We're going to have Friday, we're going to have set up still on Friday, and intercession on Friday. Come this summer, set up and intercession will most likely move to Thursday night because school district employees don't work on Fridays, basically. So it'll be moving to Thursday, and we'll have intercession then, and it's going to be awesome, and Jesus will be there. Amen? The bigger announcement I will give next week, and it's just really big, and I hope you're really excited and surprised and on the edge of your seat just thinking about it, okay? Yeah, it's that big, bro. It really is. If you got a Bible, go ahead and turn to Ephesians chapter 1. Hallelujah. We had a really good baptism last week, right? It's pretty good. You know what's good about it? Jesus was there. Hallelujah. I'm going to start with, in Ephesians chapter 1. I'm going to start in verse 16. This is Paul writing to the church in Ephesus. I'm pretty excited about what God's doing right now, I've got to tell you. Paul says, I do not cease to give thanks for you, remembering you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you a spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, 18, having the eyes of your hearts enlightened, that you may know what is the hope to which he has called you, what are the riches of his glorious inheritance in the saints. Now, I don't normally like to pull a scripture just out along itself, half of a sentence, but we're going to do that in this case. I'm going to talk a little bit about how this scripture came about, and we're just going to get into what God is talking to this house in this series. You know, God is he's beyond us, and he's bigger than us, and he's amazing, and he wants to use his bigness and amazingness and his beyond usness to touch this world. And he communicates on levels that we don't get. And once we realize that we just get drops of revelation and hope that these drops, you know, you know how they test, they now track disease by the DNA of the disease to know where it came from. Did you know that? Infectious disease specialists will say, this salmonella came from India. Because they can check the DNA of it, and all the salmonella from this one strand, they know this one outbreak comes from the same place, and they can track, you know, where it got infected from. And on the opposite of that, we can tell who God is because we can test all the little drops that come from him, and they're all the same. Even though they're different revelations, and they may look different and smell different and feel different, we can tell, no, this is the same God. We know that because his wrath is satisfied, when we get words from people that talk about God and his hatefulness and his meanness and his anger, we know, okay, wait a minute, that's not a revelation of the new covenant Jesus. Because it doesn't match who he has revealed himself to be to us. Yes? And the most brilliant human does not come close to the intelligence of God. You know, coming up, I remember one day I was reading the Federalist Papers. And we know that's kind of it was kind of like the marketing strategy of the writers of the Constitution. And I was reading this in, I think it was Hamilton. Was it Hamilton? We'll just say it was Hamilton. I was reading it, and there was one sentence I noticed. It was 119 words long. And that sentence started with the word and. Like he was continuing another thought for 119 words. My good God, that's a long sentence. These people are brilliant. And as we study early American literature, and as we study, just follow me, this is not going political, I promise you. As we study the people who wrote the Constitution, these people are brilliant. The intelligence, not only the intelligence, but the fact that these people were schooled from a very young age by brilliant people. It was like when John Adams wanted to get into college, he had traveled to Russia to be an ambassador, to translate, and he had traveled overseas, and he had helped. I mean, just the man did all this amazing stuff, but they wouldn't let him in because he didn't fluently know Greek. And so his dad hired a tutor to teach him Greek, like a Greek professor to teach him Greek, and then he just studied Greek for 2 years so he could go to college. These people had not only intelligence, but they had a level of education that today really is kind of foreign to us. Because they just get immersed in knowledge because their world was so small, they wanted to know as much about it as possible. Okay, you're with me, right? So when we look at the Constitution, it's easy to say, well, I have freedom of speech, but not have any clue what they're actually talking about. That doesn't mean I can run up into a theater and start yelling fire because I have freedom of speech. There's, with this freedom, there's responsibility. Yes? And the more freedom you have, the more responsibility we have to govern it properly. Yes? And so I was in awe coming up of the brilliance of these political writers. And then I got saved. And then I met a man named Paul. Now, this scripture in Ephesians chapter 1 starts in verse 15. The sentence is 169 words long. I counted. I have the number right here. 169 words. In the next sentence, you know what it starts with on verse 22? And. Like, you would think at 169 words, you completed that thought. Now, I mean, what kind of graph do you need to break down what this sentence means? Like, what is referring to in every little clause and phrase in this sentence? And the funny thing is, people with no education, with no understanding of what Paul came out of, what Paul was reading, what Paul was studying, his influences, Judaism, Greek philosophy, the thought, the culture of Ephesus. They don't know any of that, and they just will take one little phrase out of here, that the God of our glory, Jesus Christ, will give me a spirit of wisdom. I know exactly what that means, spirit of wisdom and revelation. Oh yeah, I got that. And that's in the middle of a sentence that's 169 words. We're talking about one clause in the middle of a sentence that's 169 words. You understand where I'm going with this? God can speak on many levels and layers, and I get that. But there might be a little bit more than what the uneducated mind sees when it looks at Scripture. Faith is not the opposite of intelligence. Faith is not the opposite of intellect. Now, there is a raw faith. There is an ignorant faith. There's just a, I don't know anything but Christ, and God will use that. There's a greater level that says, I understand all this, and I understand the Word, and I understand physics, and I understand gravity, and I understand economics, but yet and still, I believe God for. Are y'all with me here? And so when we read Paul, who's a genius in his writings here in Ephesians chapter 1, we look at verse 18. And in verse 18 he says, having the eyes of your hearts enlightened. The eyes of your heart enlightened. I don't have any eyes on my heart. I have eyes on my face. I don't have eyes in my heart. And yet here's a genius who wrote that. So it's not like he was just coming up with something witty. And it's not like they just transcribed a message. You know, there's preachers today who got like a book comes out every 6 weeks. You know, I mean, I'm just amazed. But you know what? They're not actually writing them. What happens is they'll have a conference and someone will transcribe what they spoke at the conference. They make it into a book. So just whatever they happen to be saying at that moment goes in the book. And it's revelatory, but it's not like Paul who had to write this longhand so he could send it off to a church to tell them how to govern their lives. This was inspired by the Holy Spirit to be the written word forever. A little more care went into this. So I got to believe that he had thought some of these things through in detail before he wrote down a 169-word sentence. And yet, in the middle of that, this genius who studied Greek and studied philosophy and studied Hebrew and studied the law and had the Torah memorized and all this, in the middle of it, he says, may the eyes of your heart be enlightened. Let me say this in the middle. If you have young kids and they're bored, we're starting youth ministry, okay? Just wanted to let you know. Okay, good. Anyway, is that okay? What is he talking about? See, if you have an older version of Scripture, it might say understanding there. Anybody got that in your Bible? You read that, it says the eyes of your understanding. Yes? Yes. In the old King James, they used a different Greek manuscript to write the Scriptures, and they did the newer translations use a different version. And the word there literally is cardia, and it literally means heart. Literally, he's talking about the eyes of your heart. Now, what is he talking about? And this is what I'm going to get at, and I got a brief message I want to talk about this. All that to say this. your heart is where all the issues of your life flow out of. And the problem with most people, they want a spirit of wisdom and revelation, but their heart has not been purified yet. And if your heart has not been purified yet, all the wisdom and revelation you get will be tainted by what's in your heart. And so out of your heart comes a tainted view of who God is. Because the eyes of your heart have not been enlightened. The eyes of your heart. You cannot purely see what has entered your heart. So you don't purely know what you're ministering to other people. You with me on this? Here's the word that God and I had a little conversation about. We're just kind of talking, and he says to me, or I say to him, I don't remember who said it first, I'm guessing him. He said, ignorance plus pride equals deception. Ignorance and pride Now, if you don't know the word and you haven't studied it and you don't know where it comes from, that's great, but don't be prideful of it. Don't be emboldened by the fact that you don't understand how the scriptures got there. Don't brag about the fact that you don't know, you know, if it means heart or understanding or what the point is there. God will work with a humble heart. God will fill a humble heart. The reason AA works so well is because the first thing they tell you is, guess what? You're not as great as you thought you were. If you will come to the understanding that I can't, he can and he will, if you can come through those first three steps, the first step through AA or NA or Gamblers Anonymous is to humble yourself. And that's a biblical precept that says, if you will humble yourself before God, he will give you grace. The Bible says, if you'll humble yourself, he'll raise you up. He says, the prideful are resisted by God, but the humble are drawn near. And so they just get this biblical concept that if you'll humble yourself, wonderful things can happen in your life. That's based on scripture. The higher power is Jesus. And anybody who gets involved in this concept of humble yourself and you'll receive grace, anybody who gets involved in that, your life will get better. Now, you get to then receive that better life and give glory to Jesus, but that's up to you. He's going to do it regardless because it is a law. It is a law that if you humble yourself, he'll give you grace. And so some people do it, and they say, well, my higher power, you know, or something stupid, you know, and they can do that, but that's not the higher power that gave you the power to get free. Jesus Christ is the power that gave that came. There was a man who got a touch from heaven and came up with this 12-point plan, this 12-step plan, and his higher power was Jesus, and then the other people pervert it later, but the anointing is still on it. Because the revelation is pure. I can, he can, and he will. That's hallelujah. That's pure revelation from heaven. And if you will humble yourself and trust God, God will come through on your behalf. You do that, you start getting free. But if you don't recognize that you need help, and if you don't recognize you can't do it on your own, if you can't recognize that maybe I don't know everything, then God can't move on your behalf. The Bible says you're resisting God in that. And so it's a law. It's a spiritual law. Tithes and offering, it's a spiritual law that God will bless you. It's a spiritual law. If you sow into others, God will sow into you. It's just a spiritual law. It works. I mean, it's just how it works. Whether or not you give glory. So our job is not only to get involved in spiritual laws, but to position ourselves to operate in those laws cleanly. If you sow enough money, God will come through for you financially, yes. But it's better to get involved in what God wants financed so he can trust you with more finances to sow in the thing that he wants propagated on the earth. But it's a law. If you give, you're going to receive. It's just a law. It has to happen. Maybe not to the extent that you want, but it has to happen. But if you get involved in what God cares about, I mean, it's wonderful to send money just, you know, the guy on TV, and if you give $1,100 right now, I know there's 13 people. Man, I wish they would audit some of those words of knowledge. I really, but that's another story. If you sow that, that's great. I wonder, with that $1,100 seed, if you were to say, God wants me to sow $1,100, I'm going to go down to that poor part of Boca with groceries. Because my Bible says, when you give to the poor, you lend money to the Lord. So I got two laws working on my behalf right now. I'm giving to the poor and I'm sowing seed. I'm expecting a double return. Yes? I never knew anybody who worked with the poor who wasn't blessed by God. So we want a pure heart as we get involved in the grace of God, and as we get involved in the anointing of God, and as we get involved in the gifts of God, and as we get involved in what the Holy Spirit is doing, we want to do it in a pure heart so it's not just us for our benefit. That's one thing I love about our worship team at the mission and all the singers that we have here. We don't have any performers. And there's wonderful singers in South Florida. And there's wonderful worship leaders who just have amazing voices and have an incredible ability to work the crowd, but they get paid by the feedback you give them. And I can't sow into that. You know what I mean? It can be more about them than it is less leading worship to God. It becomes a little showy. Yeah? And so in our worship, we don't have a single worship leader up here who's doing a performance. We just don't have it. I mean, we have, you know, people who will stand still and sing, and we have Sergio who will be, you know, breaking the stage singing. But I guarantee you Sergio's not doing it as a performance. I mean, I promise you he's not doing that so people can look at him. Sergio's just confident in his relationship with Jesus. And he's like, here's what happens when I get anointed. Now, his confidence will look like pride to those who are insecure. I'm not intimidated at all by it. I'm like, do that. Right? Jeremiah 17, he talks about the heart. He says, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately sick. Who can understand it? That's encouraging. There's a nice Mother's Day message right there. Happy Mother's Day to all the mothers. Your heart is deceitful above all things and desperately sick. If you needed a card this morning, you can repent at the end of service because you've received your reward already for the years of motherhood. No, that's not what I mean at all. Let's read the next verse, though. Verse 10. I, the Lord, search the heart and test the mind to give every man according to his ways, according to the fruit of his deeds. What am I talking about here? Paul prayed that the eyes of their hearts would be enlightened. They would have spirit of wisdom and revelation and the knowledge of him. Jeremiah says, the heart is wicked. Who can know it? And then he answers it. Only God knows the heart of man. Only God knows the heart. We're not allowed to judge one another's heart. We don't know. Just like we don't know, many don't know what Paul put into writing this scripture. You don't know the cost that that Lillian had to pay to be able to get up here and lead worship. But people say, oh, look at her, just, you know, whatever, you know. You don't know what it's saying. You don't know what it's taken for, you know, people who are in a certain position to get to a certain position. You don't know what someone's been through who operates in a certain way. We look at the fruit and we say, oh, because they're doing this, that's what's going on in their heart. I know, but they act like they're confident, but I know for real that they're, you don't know. The Bible tells you, you don't know their heart. You don't know their heart. You don't know what's going into them. You don't know what their journey has been like here. You don't know what they went through as a child. You don't know what they're going through at home. You don't know what they went through at work. You don't know the pressures from their family. You don't know what warfare the enemy has sent upon them. You don't know what's going on in their finances. You don't know what God is challenging them with. You don't know. You don't know. But we think that we know people's hearts, so we walk around and say, oh, look at that person over there. Look how they act. Well, I got a strong word for them. Oh, I got to give them a strong word because I have to, I don't want to have to rebuke them, but you know, the Lord, I have to be obedient because the blood's on my hands if I don't. Just pull all kinds of scriptures out of context. Here's where the gifts come in. God's perfect knowledge, it stands in the place of our ignorance and error. His perfect knowledge stands in the place of ignorance and error. Let me ask the prophetic people. Have you ever got a word of encouragement for somebody you don't like and you didn't want to encourage? Yes? Yeah, I have. If you're prophetic, you've gotten words of encouragement for people you don't like. If you haven't, you're not really prophetic. Because all the words you've been given are the words you wanted to give. I don't mean that as a rebuke, but I mean that as a challenge. I mean to challenge you a little bit. If you never gave a word, you know, look at the word. All the prophets had to give words they didn't want to give. And sometimes the word you don't want to give is the word of encouragement to people that you want God to call down fire on. You're like, God's like, you know, homeboy? Like, yeah, God, we're going to kill him today. I want you to go bless him. No! Bless him with rebuke, right, God? Because that'll correct him. No, bless him with money. Whoa, money. You don't know the key to people's heart. You just don't know. You don't know what's going on in their heart. You don't know their struggles, and you don't know what is going to open up the door for God to move in. You see, as prophetic people, as a prophetic house, as an apostolic house, our goal is to get people connected to God. People connected to God. Our goal is not to get people to behave the way we think they should behave. That's not our goal. That's not our goal. That's the goal of Islam. Everybody has to do this at this time, and since you're not going to do it, we'll make the cry out from the steeple thingies, and then if you catch somebody who's not doing it, we're going to kill them. Like, wow, that's, wow. That's where that leads to. That's not who we are. This what we are as people is Holy Spirit is in charge of everybody and everything. Holy Spirit is in charge, right? And then Holy Spirit says, I know what's going on in the heart of Joe over there. Billy, go on over there and tell Joel that he's going to make it. You're like, but I don't like Joel. I know. And you're going to tell him. And Joel's over there thinking, man, I'm leaving this church because Billy doesn't like me. And he's in charge of things, and I don't like him because he doesn't like me. And then Billy walks over to Joe and says, I'm going to let you know you're going to make it. And he just rocked his world. You want a rebuke, but he's expecting rebuke. But God is reaching out a hand of love. We don't know. We don't know what God wants to do in people's lives. And it's so easy to judge and Jesus said, it's not what comes into you that defiles you, but what comes out of your mouth. It says, for the heart, out of the heart comes evil thoughts. Out of the heart comes evil thoughts. We also know that sin is born in the heart. Our goal has to be as a prophetic apostolic people. Lord, I need my heart cleaned. I need my heart purified. I need my heart to dwell in peace with you, God. As we move into a new season as a church, us as a church family, and our mandate right now is to clean up our own house. And I don't mean this church house. I mean our own hearts. We're at a level of anointing that we're at, but God wants to take us higher, and I've asked God not to give us more anointing than we can handle. Because I don't want to see this thing blow up. God is looking for people who allow him to be God. God is looking for a people group who really trust that he speaks. He's looking for a people that will just allow themselves to have their lives laid down for his greater plan and his greater glory. People who believe that his knowledge and wisdom will take the place of my ignorance. What does that mean for us? Well, we need to be in his presence. We need to see who he is toward us and then be that toward other people. You hear me? God is generally very nice to me. Anybody else? He's often very nice to me. More than I deserve. I mess up a lot. He's very nice to me. That's who he wants us to be to the world. He says, listen, I'll be the God, and you just do what I tell you to do. You be a blessing, and I'll bring the conviction. You be a blessing, I'll bring the conviction. You see, when our hearts are not pure, when our hearts are not purified, when our hearts are not walking in cleanness toward other people, when our hearts are not looking at people with love, it clouds our judgment. Offense and judgment clouds our vision of other people and how God uses our ministry. Yes? I have a key for you. Do you battle with anybody in your mind? Is there anybody in here that you're having ongoing arguments with people in your head? Is that just me? And it's ongoing. It's your regular. You and him got beef in your head. You get around people that you got beef in your head with, it's a little funny, right? Right? And you're like, can't believe you said that to me. They didn't actually say that to you. That's in your head. You know that, right? You understand that? That's not really happening. How do you deal with that? Well, you can rebuke the thoughts. You can try. Anybody try that? Like, you think something, now you're arguing with yourself over the argument you're having with somebody. Stop that. No, you're not going to think it. I'm like, who are you arguing with? Stop. I got to stop thinking that. Stop. Think what? About how I hate him. Oh, no, stop saying you hate him. You know, there's a recipe to fix that. Anybody know what it is? You bless him. Just begin to bless that person in your mind. Watch this. I'm about to challenge you greatly right now. You want a word of challenge? Here it comes. The person you struggle with in your mind, pray that God blesses them in every area that you don't like of their life. Oh, he thinks he could ball. He can't ball like me. Begin praying that he balls even better. She thinks she's cute. She ain't cute. Look how she walking, them shoes, tired shoes. I saw that dress last Easter. I think that was a word of knowledge right there. I don't know. So how do you pray in that situation? Father, I just pray that she would just be as cute as she thinks she is in her head. I pray that you would bless her with clothes. I pray you would bless her wardrobe, that she would get the hookup on sales. She would find that new purse on clearance. You got that coworker that you're competing for a job? Oh, they think they're gonna be the boss. Pray they get promoted. Start praying they get promoted. Oh, but what if they do get promoted? You're supposed to be happy when people get blessed. Here's what happens. As you pray for people that you have beef with in your head, first thing that happens is you purify your heart. The second thing that happens is you're invested in their success. And their success, you get part ownership of it. So when they win, you win. You know what I'm saying? It frees you of wishing evil on people and being upset that evil things aren't happening to them. Because the worst thing that could happen is you wish evil on somebody and it happens. So that means you're involved in witchcraft. That's bad. That just never works out well. Anybody ever read the Ten Commandments? It's a bestseller. It's in the book. It's like, some people call it God's top 10 list. You know, it's really important to him. You know, the first four talk about our relationship with God. You know what the next six are? Our relationship with other people. There's more of the top 10 has to do with our relationship with each other than our relationship with God. Probably means something. You think? You think? And we want to walk pure because God's desire is for your life to go well. You know that? You know God wants your life to go well? Do you know that God wants your life to be good and happy and prosperous? Do you know that? Do you know he wants the person next to you, their life to be just as good and prosperous? You know the people you have arguments with in your head, he wants their lives to be good and prosperous? Do you know that? Do you know that he wants the entire earth to be aware of his glory? You know that? That's the people you don't like too. And I want to be a pure vessel. And I don't want those people to have ownership in my heart. I don't want those people, I don't want those people to be able to control what comes out of my mouth. I don't want those people to have that authority in my life. And that's how you have to look at it. My relationship with God is more important than anything else in this world, even if old bucket mouth Billy over there gets promoted, thinking he's someone, but he's clearly not like me. I don't want him. You see, when you judge him like that, now he has control over your promotion in the Lord. I want to release that. So I just bless old bucket mouth Billy. Father, you just promote the mess out of him. Bless his life, make him happy and prosperous and love you. Now my heart is pure when I see bucket mouth Billy. I might give him a new nickname. Blessing mouth Billy. What's up, Billy? Then old blessing mouth comes to you. Psh, I got that promotion. You'd be like, I know, I prayed it in. What's up with that? I'm running things, you know? Where are you going, Carl? You don't have to be captive of your unclean thoughts. You don't have to be a slave of the battles of your mind. You don't have to be tormented by the plans of the wicked one because you are free in Christ Jesus. And you are free to be blessed. You're free to be a blessing. The enemy's plan is to get you involved in his work so you can't come into the blessing of God. But your God is more powerful than that. Your God is bigger than that. Your God has a plan out of that. Your God has already conquered that. Your God has given you a way of escape from that. We're going to be people who bless one another. We're going to be people who pray for one another. We're going to be people who just prophesy the goodness of God in South Florida. We're going to just see, I just feel the anointing on this so strong right now. I just, the Lord has just shown me families coming to faith in Christ. Families. And not through us telling our family members everything that's wrong with them. There is a time for that, but it's rare. You know when it is? It's when they ask you. If people aren't asking you what you see wrong in their lives, then it's not your time to tell them. Whoa. You hear what I'm saying? I'm not going down that bunny trail. Jesus, thank you, Lord. We're going to speak blessings to people. We're just going to prophesy the goodness of God in them till it overcomes them. We just spread it through South Florida. That's the plan. We're just going to live lives of revival. I told the intercessors on Friday night, and I don't have time to get into all this, but God and I have a little catchphrase. We're going back and forth with each other. He keeps telling me, I keep telling him, and we're just kind of preaching to each other, which is, he preaches better than me. Believe it or not, it's true. And we have this catchphrase, revival is not an event. Revival is not an event. I want to live in revival. I want to be a walking revival everywhere I go. And God pours out his spirit. That's the greatest blessing. There's no greater blessing. And when you get touched by revival, it changes your life. And so I just like to think I am revival. And if I can find the open door in your life through blessing, you'll get touched by revival, and Jesus will get what he paid for. Amen? Stand to your feet. Let's pray. Father, we love you this morning. Hallelujah. 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 Right now, in the name of Jesus. Mikey, come on up. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We're going to take care of some kingdom business here real quick. Hallelujah. 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 Come on, just pray in the Holy Ghost for a second. Here's what's going to happen. Two things are going to happen. The Lord is going to start bringing offenses in your heart to your mind. You're going to repent, and then you're going to begin to declare blessings over those people. Yes? You're with me. And you're not going to do it in your mind. You're going to do it with your mouth. And don't be embarrassed and nobody hearing you, because we all got issues. We all got issues. I don't care how many inner healing conferences you've been to. I don't care how much soaking prayer you've done. I don't care how many therapy sessions you've been. But we all got issues. We're going to take care of some of them right now. I'm going to pray. And the Lord just bring, there it is. Father, in the name of Jesus, right now. Father, we're not going to just drum up stuff. We're not just going to search inside of us for it. But Father, there's things that you've anointed us to take care of right now. And so, Lord, just if you would just bring to mind those things that your grace is on right now to heal. Wow. Reva shantepeke. Wow. He's also showing you things that you just need to repent of. Because there's people in this room that the offense is you. And it's time to repent. First with God and then with that person. Come on. You need to just pray it out loud. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Give me a little more keyboard. We'll drown people out a little bit. Put a little effects on it. Make it a little echoey maybe. I don't know. Just turn it up. And so people, we don't need to hear the name, but you need to speak it out. You need to just begin to prophesy blessings over that person's life. Blessings over that person's, that thing in them that annoys you. You need to just begin to bless it in the name of Jesus. You need to speak blessings over their finances, blessings over their family, blessings over their relationship, blessings over their ministry. Father, raise them up in the name of Jesus. Come on, let's deal with business. Come on. Forgive me for judging that person, Lord. Heal that thing in me that feels threatened by them. Heal the thing in me that feels threatened by them. But I won't be a slave of this thing any longer. I will not be a slave of this thing any longer, because I declare blessings over their life. Bless their life, Jesus. It's hard to judge somebody you're praying for. Take care of business. Come on. Bless the Lord. put your hand on your heart. Father, search my heart. Tell him, search my heart, for you know what's in it. I'm not going to search it. You search it, Father, and you tell me. You tell me, Jesus. Where have I lacked honor? Where have I lacked love? Where have I judged? Some of you have judged yourself wrong. Judge your husband, judge your wife, judge your mom on Mother's Day. Now here on Mother's Day, don't go to your mom and tell her, Mom, I've judged you my whole life. Would you forgive me? Don't do that. That's not a blessing. Just you take care of it in your heart. Amen. Come on. Father, touch the hearts. Come on, pray. Touch the hearts, Jesus. Make us pure vessels for your glory. Make us pure vessels for your anointing. Pure vessels, Jesus. Father, that you would heal the insecurities. There's some people, you're going to get free of a spirit of manipulation right now. Both those who have manipulated and those who've been manipulated. Here it comes. I declare freedom. In the name of Jesus. By the blood. Freedom. It's coming over your life right now. Freedom. The Lord just gave them a picture right now. You are being manipulated. It's a wicked spirit and I hate it. It's a demonic spirit of division. In the name of Jesus, freedom over your life. Woo. Freedom over your life. Freedom over your life right now. Freedom over your life right now. Free to love. And the Lord spoke to me before service and he said he's going to give some fresh starts today on Mother's Day. Going to be renewal in some relationships. The past will be washed away and there'll be a new start with people who have repented of the past and they deserve a fresh start. There's people in this room who have repented of the past and deserve a fresh start. Not those who keep giving lip service to repentance, but people who've truly changed. But you've been judged. You've been judged by your past, but you're a new person. No longer I who lives, but Christ who lives in me. The old man died in the water of baptisms. And the Lord says, today is the fresh start in the name of Jesus. And also in relationships, right now he's giving a fresh start in relationships. Old offenses will be healed. Old offenses will no longer be remembered, but you'll look forward to the new person. You'll walk with the new person. You'll walk with the new person in the name of Jesus. The Lord is giving grace to start over. He's not rebirthing the old relationship, for the old relationship would not work. It's the new relationship he's birthing today on Mother's Day. Reba sante beke bakalaba. Revo sonte bakataraba. Revon deleveke leta teta teraba sante. Hardeva kalaba reba. The Lord is dislodging the spirit of division in your life right now. The spirit of offense is coming off your life right now. There it is. The spirit of offense is coming off your life right now. If you would repent, the spirit of offense is coming off your life right now. Choose to forgive in this moment. In this moment, choose to forgive. You may not feel it. You may not want to. It's not an emotion. It's a choice. Jesus chose to forgive me. I choose to forgive right now. There's an anointing right now. Choose to forgive right now. Choose to forgive right now. Grace of God anointing that choice right now. He's setting people free all over this room. Out. There's a spirit of homosexuality coming off of somebody right now. It's lodged in the spirit of offense. Woo! It's lodged in the spirit of offense. words, and it's coming off right now. Rejection does not run your life in the name of Jesus. Rejection does not run your life in the name of Jesus. The blood. Freedom. Now fill him, Lord. Fill him, Jesus. Who's feeling a little bit more free right now? Okay, we're halfway there. This is going to take 2 minutes. Once you get the vessel empty, it's got to get filled up. Amen? We need to fill with love. We need to fill with power. We need to fill with the Holy Ghost. So I'm going to worship for a second. We're going to get filled, okay? I feel the anointing like a... It's feeling good in here right now. Listen, we always test miracles in this house. We say, do what you couldn't do. Some of you are going to be able to be around people that you haven't been able to be around because of offense. You're just going to be able to just stand there in love because they're not going to have power over you anymore. You're going to be able to do what you couldn't do before. They're going to be the same, but you're not going to be offended. You're not going to yell at them or snap at them. You're not going to give them power to manipulate you. You're just going to be free. Amen? I'll take that for me. Is the worship team here? Whoever you, if you're here, come on up. Not you, Sam. Hallelujah. Come on, let's do it. Y'all ready? We're just going to worship for a minute, and I just really feel like the anointing is going to drop. You ready? Is that good? Put your hand on the shoulder of somebody real quick again. Just say, fill them up, Holy Spirit. Fill them up, Jesus. Fill them up. Let them do what they could not do, Lord. Woo! Ready? Come on, I'm throwing my old me on the fire this morning, Lord.
And I'll provide the sacrifice.
That's me.
You provide the spirit. And I will open up inside. Fill me up, God. Fill me.
Have to leave, I just bless you in the name of Jesus right now, that the Lord would keep you, that you would have short accounts with people this week, that he would overflow in your life in the name of Jesus. If you want some ministry, I want you to stay. We're going to worship. We're going to get filled. Get somewhere you can worship. It's about to jump off. We get the jump off right now.
Hey! Fill me up, God. Fill me up.
He's purifying God. Hearts right now. He's flooding hearts with love right now. He's flooding hearts with love right now. You are going to make it through the battle. You are going to make it through the battle. Away. Grief is being washed away. Disappointment is being washed away. Offense is being washed away. Faith, hope, and love. 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 A blessing over someone near you. Just speak a blessing. Don't try to prophesy over their life and all that. Just speak good things over somebody near you. Just speak really good things over them. Right out of that, right out of the abundance of your heart right now. Speak good things over them. You are gonna make it. I see love increasing in your life. I see joy. I see strength. I see emotional strength increasing in your life. You will not be tormented by the thoughts of others. You are going to walk in emotional strength. I just declare that your insecurities are going away right now in the name of Jesus. Your insecurities are being healed, and the love of God is transforming you into the person you are called to be. You will walk in righteousness. You will make it. You're going to walk in holiness. You're not going to be beset by sin. You're not going to be beset by old habits. But you are going to make it in the name of Jesus. Of joy. You will be able to lay your head down at night and think of nothing but the sleep you're about to enter into. And you will sleep through the night soundly and wake up rested in the name of Jesus. Your mind will be at peace. The joy of the Lord is your strength. I just declare more joy in your life. more strength through the joy of the Lord. God's joy is your strength. He is not worried about this at all. And that is your strength. You walk under His supernatural protection. Father God, we love You this morning. You're so awesome and so good and so wonderful. I pray that You would give us all opportunities just to sow love into the people around us this week. Father, I pray that You would bless the mothers today and that You would just bless the fathers today and You would bless the sons today and bless the daughters today. And You would bring us into just a wonderful relationship with You that we could be Your arm and Your mouthpiece and Your hands and Your feet in the world. In Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen.